A distraction. How many football games were on yesterday? I don't know. A bunch. But that seems to be a focus of what we do together, you know, and even the ones we aren't watching, somebody's checking their text message to see what the score of the other game is, or what's the score of that game. And then you get to look forward to Black Friday. You know, that seems to be the main attraction of Thanksgiving now, doesn't it? And when I think about that, when it really hits me that we've put so many things in the way of, we've set a season aside, but we've added so much extra to it that it really is difficult for us to focus because we've made it maybe more difficult to focus. All the things that we've bought into and all the things that we've allowed to be a part of this Thanksgiving season. Friday night, we had a special Celebrate Recovery evening, and if you missed, I know you were at a Thanksgiving opportunity for your family. I had told the guys that come on Friday nights out of jail that I would like for us to have a special Thanksgiving service Friday night. And they want to know, well, what's that about? Does that mean we're going to get a lot to eat? Is everybody going to bring a lot of turkey, you know? That would have been my first question. You know, what's it going to look like? I said, no, here's what I'd like for us to do. I have learned so much from you guys about what to be thankful for in my life. I would like for you guys to just share with us what you have to be thankful for in your life. And we hear that every Thursday night as Jay and I go over there, what they're thankful for. It has taught me so much about what really I have an opportunity to be thankful for, and I am not. I'm a very ungrateful person by my nature. I take so much for granted. But when I sit there with those guys every Thursday night, I listen to them Friday night. Sandy, it was awesome, wasn't it? Probably the best Friday night that we've had in 60 or so Friday nights that we've been together, maybe more. It was a blessing. It was a blessing just to hear what they are grateful for and remind me of some things that I really should be grateful for and am not. When I sit there every Friday night and those guys pray every Thursday night when we're in jail, without exception, they pray to our Father, thank you, God, for putting me here in jail so I could find you. Wow. You know, would I be able to pray that, Peter? I don't know. Got another little surprise this last Thursday night. I want you guys to just think about our life as a body. We are not just here. Some of our body is actually sitting over there in jail this morning. Met someone there Thursday night who was here years ago. And so it's just opened up my eyes that our life does not just happen here. It happens everywhere we go. The body of Christ happens. And to be thankful. And even him, he said, I'm so thankful I'm here. And I found some men who are beginning to focus on the right things. And he hadn't been there but a week. And he's already thankful that God has gotten his attention, you know. So what's it going to take for him to get our attention, you know? I don't know. But I want to be willing when he brings it on, you know. I want to be willing. Does that thing have scriptures on it? It doesn't. This does. Okay. So it will in a minute. Okay. I'm new at this. And I want to stay new at it, really, Russ. I want to keep that a new experience for me. So I want us to start this morning in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 16 through 18. So let's read this together. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is there more, or is that all of it? Let's do that again together. Is it up here? All right, let's go. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but from the time I was little and from the time that I began to really struggle with my mother, I did not receive rules real well. Do y'all receive rules real well? What about you, Vicky? Nah. Nah. You know, somebody tells me what to do, my first instinct is, well, I don't think I have to do that. I don't say that always. I don't say that when Sarah says that, Tommy. But you know, when there's a command in here, it just sort of rustles up my feathers. I say, why? Why give thankfulness? You don't know what my life is like right now. But as we're going to look a little bit further this morning, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, we're going to learn that this is actually a change in attitude for us to have. to develop an attitude of thankfulness, not as much as a command, but it is an opportunity that God has given us to experience Him in a new and fresh and different way. He's inviting us into His presence by being thankful. And we're going to look at that just a little bit more. Let's go ahead and pull up the one in Psalms. And I want us to read this one together too. Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. Not that one. We'll get there in a minute. When the guys huddle up there every Sunday morning, I'm so thankful that I'm not up here speaking, but here I am up here speaking, and they were all huddled this morning, but I did feel some better when Jeff came and took his seat over here, that he was not going to be a part of the gallery back there, so there's still plenty back there. When I read that in Psalms 89, and I believe that came out of this little book, Jesus Calling, I went back and did some more looking at that, and what it has taught me is that the attitude of thankfulness and developing the heart that is thankful in every situation is a learned discipline. It's a learned discipline. You know, I told Sarah, I said, I just want to look for a chance to talk about Blaine. So here it is, you know. Blaine is the most ungrateful grandchild I have, you know. I mean, he's the one. But, you know, are babies grateful? You know, they have little touches that every once in a while that when you do something they want you to do, they smile at you or they respond to you, you know, and they're training us, right, Linda? They are, and they have most of us trained pretty well. But thankfulness is not something that we were born with into this world, even as babies. Babies are very demanding. They're hard to satisfy. They're hard to please. They're hard to make them quit crying, you know. They are not thankful for all the efforts that we make to try to nurture them. But as they grow, maybe it does get better. And I looked, and thankfulness or a thankful heart is not even in the list of the gifts of the Spirit. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Go back and check that out in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Being thankful is not a gift of the Spirit. David is teaching us here, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you or learn to be thankful, learned to recognize you in everything in your life. And that puts me on a different path. If he wants me to learn thankfulness, why does he want me to learn thankfulness? The answer is right here. Who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. What more could we want, Vanna? What more could we want? If he's inviting us into his presence, this in 1 Thessalonians is not a command, it's not a rule, but he's saying, guys, you want more of me? You know, I heard that from Sue this morning in Sunday school, and I just hear that so much. I want more of my Father. I want more of God. And he's showing us how. He's saying, you learn how to be thankful, you will learn how to be with me in situations you may not have ever dreamed possible that I'm in already. A learned discipline. So I want you to think about that as we, Glenn, I'm so glad. Glenn, thank you for your prayer this morning. Glenn was talking about, we talked about our salvation experience some in our Sunday school class, and I think maybe we have bought into the thing that when we become Christian, we're born again, we give our heart to the Lord, that everything is new, and now everything works out better, and everything is smooth, you know? And Glenn said that just didn't happen for him, and he was wondering, what was the matter? Well, maybe we've bought into something that Satan has wanted us to teach us through religion, teach us through church, that it is a struggle. It is a learned discipline, a learned change of heart to come into a place of being thankful. And I think that takes a little bit more than us having one day of the year that we call Thanksgiving, and then we clutter that up, Dan, with so much trash that it's hard for us to stay focused, isn't it? A learned discipline takes every moment of our life. You know, ladies, I have fought this book. It looks sissy. It sounds sissy, you know. I just thought, what are y'all up to? You know, something else, you know. Because I've always believed that women were always up to something, you know, Vicki. And Sarah McCamey sent me via text message earlier last week. a statement from November the 24th, and I want to read that with you, and I've got another one I'll read with you in just a few minutes. My Sarah reads this at home. This is written by Sarah Young. So all these Sarah women are ganging up on me, and maybe you guys think I need a little more changing, you think? Perhaps. Listen carefully as I read this. It won't come up on the monitor. Thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. That is why I have instructed you to give thanks for everything. There's an element of mystery in this transaction. You give me thanks, our Father says, regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy regardless of your circumstances. This is a spiritual act of obedience, at times blind obedience. To people who don't know me intimately, it can seem irrational and even impossible to thank me for heart-rending hardships. Nonetheless, those who obey me in this way are invariably blessed, even though the difficulties may remain. Thankfulness opens your heart to my presence and your mind to my thoughts. You may be still in the same place with the same set of circumstances, but it is as if a light has been switched on, enabling you to see from my perspective. It is this light of my presence that removes the sting from adversity. Just because someone a long time ago declared this a season of Thanksgiving, did that automatically mean that what adversity is in your life right now, what difficulties in your life went away? Absolutely not. Circumstances probably did not change just because, you know, the last November and the last Thursday in November got here. Probably didn't change a lot. But if we believe in our Father, He's showing us a path to making the sting hurt less and maybe experience a lot more of His presence. If we take this first step in a learned discipline to obedience, He's told us we will enjoy more of His presence, more of His being. We begin to hear Him, receive Him, enjoy Him. Do you enjoy your Father, your Heavenly Father? I think you do, more and more. We begin to spend time with Him. We come to rely on Him, need Him, and even share Him with others who are in difficult circumstances too. For just a couple of minutes this morning, I would like for us to just listen to a couple of us who have found themselves and still in difficult circumstance, but have found out how God, in light of that and through that and with that, has begun to use Him as a way of thankfulness to bring them into His presence. Lindsay, do we need to turn this on? Need to turn it on, okay. The one on the bottom? Okay. I'm just now learning to do text messaging. And a brother that I've come to love deeply is Jay Crouch. And it's been difficult lately, hasn't it?
It's been difficult.
It's been very difficult. But you found God in the difficulty. And I'd like for you just to share with the body, you know, and just praise God and your giving of thanks of what you found in that. You mind doing that?
Share it in a couple ways.
All right, good. You want to stand up?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not, okay. I'm going to sit down with you.
It's been a tough life. Wasn't always raised in the best home. Was raised in a home of, my father was alcoholic, and church was not something we done, or anybody in my family done, besides my grandmother. I remember she done it. But I was just, as you was talking about the circumstances in life, I was just sitting here thinking whether I should share this or not, but I'm going to anyway. I remember a time in our life when we'd lost all hope, when we were actually living in a tent in a driveway with Madison, and we were down to one car and a driveway to live in with no home. I thought things could really never get any worse, and we were actually on our way to Tullahoma in our car, and was crossing through the town there, and in front of Walgreens, our car sticks in gear, in between gears, won't go forward, won't go backwards, and the cars are lined up behind us, and we got Madison in the car, and our family's done disowned us, you know, and we got nowhere to go, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do now? So we shut it off, and we get out, and we just take off walking. You know, and I thought, okay, it's got worse, you know, and but God has brought us out of a lot of things, and the biggest thing is, I think, is just not recognizing him, you know, and I guess my main struggle now is not a place to live, because God has blessed me and brought me out of the bondage of addiction to methamphetamines and a lot of other things, but struggle with now is with some health problems, health issues, and I guess I'm thankful for them now because it just keeps me closer to God, you know. It keeps me needy and wanting more of him. And I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I got another text message. I'm not sure when it was, but Donna Robinson had texted me and said that Jimmy's dad had fallen and broken his hip and things weren't looking good. And there was a great deal of concern there, wasn't there? And so I've just asked Donna if she would mind just telling us what concerns she went through and what thanksgiving that she has given as this story has continued to unfold over the last few days.
My father-in-law is 86 years old and fell and broke his hip on Tuesday. And most of you know that my husband is not a churchgoer, but he's a believer. And his first reaction was for me to call as many people as I could to pray for my father-in-law.
Amen. Thank you.
And we got to the hospital, and they were having to bring him out of the comfort of the sedation because his oxygen levels were too low. And we just prayed, and he was given sleep. It was a natural sleep, but he slept from 10:30 that morning until 3 o'clock. And the nurses kept saying they couldn't believe it. You know, they were just amazed. But God has blessed this. And he's now doing his rehab. He's up. He's walked several steps. And the doctors say he's soaring.
Wow.
And he's not just recovering. He's soaring.
Wow.
So God is good.
Wow. Would you give that back to Lindsay? Thank you. And the beauty of that, I know the thing that Donna was most moved about was not necessarily the sleep that he got, but the fact that a husband had turned toward God, you know, and wow, to find thanksgiving in a difficult time, an 86-year-old man with a crushed hip and things are not, you know, not looking good with oxygen levels and things, and but has a husband who is turning toward God, and that's just incredible. A lot to be thankful for in times of adversity. I would like for us, as I was looking over my notes that I had made, I noticed that I had said that we're going to use this scripture in closing. I used that on the last two scriptures that I used. So we're going to close either once or twice this morning. I'm not sure how many times we're going to close this morning. But I would like for us to look at a passage in the book of Luke. And this one will probably be just a little bit too much for us to read together. So listen as I read this and watch the words up here. And we're going to look at the story of the 10 lepers. I know you're very familiar with it. This has been a very moving scripture for me, a very, very moving scripture this last week. So Jesus, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled through along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. I don't know what there is in that strikes you, but a lot of things strike me. Jesus was very intentional about where he went and where he found himself. He followed his Father's leading of where he needed to be, and he needed to be that day on the border of Galilee and Samaria, and he needed to be in that place where there were 10 men who were sick. And when they saw him, they cried out, "Master, Lord, have pity on us." You go on a little bit further there. What is not said oftentimes in Scripture for me is even as powerful as what is said. And maybe this gets to me. The healthy did not come out crying for a Lord, did they? The healthy did not come out crying for a Lord. but they called out to him in their sickness and in their time of need. Does that reflect you and when you call on the Lord? And does it say something to you about when we cry to him for help? When we need him. When we need him, and do we forget him the other times? But the thing that really got me the most, and I want to back up just a second there too, they did obey, and that was the first step into his presence. As they found, at least one found their way back into the Lord's presence. But only one came back. Only one came back. And which one came back? The Samaritan, the foreigner. You know, the ten were healed, right? They were all healed as they went, as they followed his instruction. They went, they were all healed. But only one came back and the foreigner came back. Why does Jesus tell us this story? Why does Luke record the story of Jesus healing the ten and only one came back? And I've got to ask myself, am I the foreigner? If one was a foreigner, what were the other nine? Yeah, they were the Jews, weren't they? That didn't say that. Was that pretty clear? One was a Samaritan, it says, and then later Jesus said the one was a foreigner. The nine were the Jews. The nine were the called people, the chosen people, the remnant. They did not come back and bring thanks to the one they called Lord. They were healed. They said, okay, don't need him now. And they went on. Am I the foreigner? Or am I the one who is of the remnant and has taken all of this for granted, that I deserve it? He loves me. I want to read one more passage here out of this book before we close up this morning. Anybody else got your book with you this morning? I bet some of them are in here. I know Vanna had one this morning. Anybody else got one? Just turn over 2 days. Sarah asked me this morning, I was flipping back and forth, and I marked this day. She said, why don't you mark the one you're going to read? I said, I'm going to read a bunch of them this morning. So, you know, you just have to choose which one you want to mark. November the 25th. Thank me frequently as you journey through today. This practice makes it possible to pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul taught. If you're serious about learning to pray continually, the best approach is to just thank me in every situation. These thankful prayers provide a solid foundation on which you can build all your other prayers. Moreover, a grateful attitude makes it easier for you to communicate with me. The last paragraph really comes home. When your mind is occupied with thanking me, you have no time for worrying or complaining. If you practice thankfulness consistently, negative thought patterns will gradually go weaker and weaker. Draw near to me with a grateful heart, and my presence will fill you with joy and peace. And I saw Jane over there quoting that as I was reading it. It's sunk deep in your heart, hasn't it? And if we would be thankful people every moment of every day, we would not have even the presence of mind or the space in our heart or the opportunity in our spirit to complain or to grumble or to bicker with one another or to pit ourselves against each other or to be negative people. He will bring us into his presence, and he will lift us up into a place to where we can be with him moment by moment, day by day. I am going to use that as my closing scripture. I just want to share with you one more experience that I had Jay Thursday night. Thursday night, we have a lot of worship in the jail with the guys, and it's incredible. Those guys just stand up and scream from the top of their voice, don't they? And you know, the guys even out in the other part, they hear and they listen. We had a guy show up last Thursday night, and he said, I heard y'all sing this song. He said, is there room in here for me? Absolutely. Absolutely, there's room for you. There's room for everyone. But we sang a song this last Thursday night. Jay said, I don't even know this song. He said, we're going to do it tonight because it was in the computer. Hold Me, Jesus by Dennis Jernigan. You familiar with that song? Some of you have heard that. But part of that song is, we call you King of Kings, you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords. And the phrase in there that just really grabbed me, will you be my Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace is not a title. The King is more of a title. Lord of Lords is more of relational. but be my Prince of Peace. Will you allow him to be your Prince of Peace? And the pathway to that is thankfulness. Being thankful for what he has brought your way. When thankfulness owns our heart, peace owns our heart, it owns our life, joy, the presence of God, will you let him be your Prince of Peace? Will you learn the discipline of thanksgiving where it transforms your heart, transforms your life, transforms your relationship? Will you let him be your Prince of Peace? He wants to be. One thing that I did not say about the lepers, when you get up here, you get nervous and you forget stuff. And then God brings you back basically at the wrong time, doesn't he? Basically, he's looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's okay. When the one came back, what was Jesus' response to him? He gave him a blessing. He spoke a blessing over him. And Jesus enjoyed his thankfulness. Can you imagine that? Is that too much for you to imagine? That when we come to him with thanksgiving, he actually enjoys our thanksgiving. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus wanted to say that blessing over all 10. That was his heart. He enjoyed that person coming back, and his response was to speak a blessing over him. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. We're going to have a song of encouragement, an invitation. If you would like to come down, that we can pray with you, minister to you. If you would just like to speak a word of thanksgiving, speak that out to God right now as we sing. But if you need to come down, we're going to sing a song that will be appropriate for you to come down. So come on down.